if you get any closer, you might see what I have in my other hand. It might smell.
Hello and welcome to episode number 24 of the Crossing Borders Wrestling Podcast. My name is Strenuous Manflurry, your host for this evening. And we have a whole gamut of topics to talk about here in the world of professional wrestling, from a preview of the upcoming Roadblock mini iPay-per-view, whatever you want to call it. We're going to talk about Raw, Lucha Underground, Roman Reigns, how he's being kept off of TV, the Ambrose situation, talk a little bit about NXT, Lucha Underground review, might have mentioned that. Morrow on SmackDown, as SmackDown differentiated itself, the road to WrestleMania, questions, and a whole bunch of other stuff, as we do. And I am joined tonight by my typical co-host, writer Kath. How you doing today, Catherine?
Pretty solid, actually.
How was your day, week, and or month?
We only 3 days into the month, so pretty good so far.
Yeah, so thoughts on March. If this were a shoot interview, I'd just, you know, thoughts on March.
Enters like a lion, leaves like a lamb.
Ditto.
Mm-hmm.
So, what's big? What's happening in the world of Calf?
Not too much. I'll be participating in at a trade show for International Women's Day tomorrow. So that's a luncheon thing, and it's a lot of fun. I did it last year. Had a blast.
Do you put on a little performance?
No, I have a vendor table for the studio.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, my mom and I did it, and we both run into people we know, so it's really fun. So gearing up for that tomorrow. I have a shoot on Saturday night. So, yeah, your usual affair.
Usual little busy bee that you are up there in Canadian land.
Yep.
Doing the things, meeting the people, shaking the hands, kissing the babes.
Well, I usually shoot the babies.
Do you?
Yes, with my camera.
Oh. Does your camera have a concealed gun?
Yes, I am also an assassin.
You're the assassin of children. You're a very fucked up person, do you know?
I'm doing this podcast with you, aren't I?
Indeed you are. Schadenfreude, right? So, why don't we just go ahead and jump? How come you never ask me how I'm doing, by the way?
How are you doing?
Nah, I'm alright. You know, same
That's
old
why I don't ask you.
Let's talk about the wacky world of professional wrestling.
Okay.
You watched Raw. You subjected yourself to that.
Yeah.
Tell me about the implications for Raw leading into Roadblock. As we know, and it's a topic we're going to have that we're going to get to, Roman Reigns right now off TV.
Yeah.
They confirmed that the nasal surgery was legitimate. He had a deviated septum, so they used the beating to take him off TV, which to me, it's a really weird time to do that.
Yeah.
The build up to WrestleMania. WrestleMania is how many weeks away? Is it April?
Yeah, April 3rd.
So it's a month away.
Yeah.
So there is time, and they got this Roadblock show to kind of bridge the gap, and obviously the big main event match there is Triple H versus Dean Ambrose for the World Heavyweight Championship. Winner goes on to face Roman Reigns, and they're really doing a little something right now with Dean Ambrose, and I know you know better than to get your hopes up, of course, but what are you thinking about this whole thing with Dean Ambrose, top guy, main attraction, doing his thing and building up his little feud with Triple H? How's he doing? How's it looking? And are you looking forward to the match and the show?
I am. I think he's doing phenomenal. He's kind of been in this position before when Reigns was out with his hernia injury, surgery. So it's a spot he's not unaccustomed to. And I think one of the reasons Ambrose is so successful as a face right now is because everybody else is kind of this smarmy or, like, cocky or Cena Light-esque face. And he comes across as just this dude who's going to fight you anywhere, anytime, and if you knock him down, he'll laugh and get up. So I think the sheer difference in character that he has compared to the other faces on the roster is what sets him apart right now, not to mention his skill on the microphone, because in that opening segment with Hunter, he was out there and he hung with him no problem on the mic.
Yep. He has a confidence. He's just a natural.
He is.
And this is why people have said from the beginning, from, you know, the S.H.I.E.L.D. breakup, even maybe even before that, you know, this was the guy. Mm-hmm. And they're, whether or not they're going to go in that direction, and it certainly appears that they're not going to, at least, I mean, this is the best he's been treated, as far as I can tell, ever?
Yeah.
And it's all for naught in the end, most likely, but enjoy the ride.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I'm really looking forward to the match with Lesnar.
Yeah, like, I don't think anybody expects him to beat Triple H, but maybe they'll protect him.
Yeah,
have a conflict, you know, a dirty ending or whatever.
I'd be fine with that. I mean, it's a pay-per-view. That would get some decent heat on Hunter.
Yeah, and this isn't even a pay-per-view. It's a bonus show.
You know what I mean?
So you can do a little something there.
Honestly, I think from a heat perspective, a run-in would give Hunter more heat. Than beating Ambrose legit.
And, I mean, the one good thing about Dean is he is a guy who people like. And we've said this as many times as he's been beaten and beaten and beaten and beaten and beaten and sacrificed, almost. You know, he got beat by Roman in 9 minutes or whatever it was in their one-on-one match at whatever the tournament was, Survivor Series or one of the other shows.
Yeah, yeah.
He's always maintained a degree, and when you, like, get back behind him, he gets it back real quick. I mean, he's not what he could be. Not even close. He could have been much more. With a deliberate push, you know, he could have been much more.
Sustained, yeah.
But it appears to be working, and he appears to be doing a very good job. And, I mean, Triple H is still a hell of a wrestler, and Dean is a hell of a wrestler, and they're probably going to have a really goddamn great match. And, I mean, it's probably not going to be as good as him versus Lesnar, though.
No. I think Ambrose and Lesnar is just going to be absolute carnage, and it's going to be great.
Yeah, so going to be a good couple weeks for Mr. Ambrose, and it might be even a couple good months after that if they follow up with a logical program between him and Roman.
Yeah.
And do you think they're going to?
I don't know.
If you had to put your cards on the table now, tell me what's going to happen at Roadblock to Mania, post-Mania.
I think at some point what we'll see is like a League of Nations beating down Ambrose, like Raw ended this week.
Uh-huh.
And Roman will come out for the save. And I think that's how he'll get back into the storyline. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. I think it's almost like a Flair and Charlotte situation at this point where there's Ambrose is going to keep overshadowing Reigns, so far as the fans are concerned.
True. That makes sense.
So, at a certain point, like, I like that they're bros and they're friends, but you've got to start putting a little bit of distance between them.
Yeah, well, here's the question. Next Monday is, I guess you could call it the go-home for Roadblock.
Yeah.
Do you think that Roman will be back by then, or do you think he'll be back on the subsequent week or perhaps at the Roadblock show itself?
He's not advertised for Roadblock. Neither he nor Luke Harper.
I mean, like, it may be post-match beatdown, he runs out.
Could.
You know, because I'm presuming, like, if I were to guess, I'm presuming that Brock Lesnar is interfering in the main to attack Dean Ambrose, and then Roman is coming out, and then making the save, and then eventually Roman gets paired off with Triple H, Dean and Lesnar brawl somewhere, and that's how the show goes off the air.
Yeah.
That's my presumption.
That could work. I don't know. I think they're going to want to keep Reigns off maybe another week.
Yeah.
Because where is Raw this week?
The coming Monday?
Yeah.
Oh, boy, I don't know. I think there's some smart crowds coming up, but I don't know exactly when. I know they're going to go back to Philly. Roadblock is at Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say Pittsburgh is another one, and maybe
Chicago.
Rosemont back in Chicago, which,
oh, that's going to hurt.
It wasn't that bad. When I was there, he really botched a promo, and that's why the crowd turned on him, but
yeah, but I don't know. This is leading up to Mania, and it kind of everybody's knowing what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And
but, I mean, buckle in, it's going to be what it's going to be, and we all know what it's going to be.
Yeah.
And I think that honest to God, is part of what I'm very excited about Mania for, is just seeing that reaction and just seeing if he can handle it, if he lets it eat him alive. Like, you remember a mid-aughts WrestleMania. I don't remember who he was facing, but on even, like, the sleeve, there's a picture of Cena after his match. and he's on his knees, and he's trying very hard not to cry, it looks like. He has the most hurt look on his face. And remember, you know, he couldn't always handle it either.
Yeah.
Roman Reigns kind of has the prototype, pardon the pun, to build, look at and, you know, see how to handle it, like, right in front of him. He knows how to handle a crowd. Study that.
Mm-hmm.
But it'll be interesting to see if Roman can pull it off or not, because we know exactly what the reaction is going to be. There is no question. There is no, well, maybe they can get him. Maybe by the end of the match they can if they pull off some real magic, but don't count on it.
No, you cannot bank on this crowd. And unfortunately, there's going to be some in the crowd just bound and determined no matter what. And they're a very vocal part of the show. So sometimes they can sway the crowd too, and it's just gonna depend. I mean, I think stuff like it's gonna be a match where the other matches on the card are going to impact the crowd. And if they had like a situation with the Sheamus Bryan 18 seconds thing, like if they were stupid enough to have Lesnar go over Ambrose in 18 seconds, I don't think anything would save the crowd.
Are you kind of leading into something here where you're going to say it is possible for Roman Reigns to have a positive reaction?
No.
Okay. I was
going to
say.
I'm going to say, like, they could mitigate it.
They can't. It's Mania. They can't. It's going to be what it's going to be, and we all know what it's going to be.
It just depends. My interest is more, how bad is it going to be? Like, how bad are the other matches going to piss the crowd off?
And, like, what you want for that main event, if you're a fan of, you know, the classic John Cena-esque mixed crowd, is you want that enormous nuclear split reaction. I don't even know if we'll get that. I don't know if we will actually get a split reaction.
Yeah, there could be. It could be neutral.
Could be, like, roundly in the favor of Triple H.
Yeah, and at least with Hunter, like, he's good enough at this sort of thing to work with the crowd, and he's got enough leeway to do that.
But does he want to?
He might have to.
He's throwing those crotch chops. He knew exactly what was going to happen when he beat down Roman.
Yeah.
So it's all a very interesting situation, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I think the only way, like, that beatdown thing could have worked, frankly, would have been, like, Roman's handcuffed to the ring, and Hunter does that to Dean. Like, that's the only way he could have gotten booed.
Make Roman watch as I beat Dean.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I could get into that.
Well, you would, you sick freak.
You probably wrote the fucking fanfic where that happens.
No.
Yeah.
No.
It was somebody else beating Dean, but it was somebody.
Shut up.
Beating Dean off.
So, you're an idiot. It looks like also Y2AJ is going to be a thing.
I don't get that at all.
I don't either.
I thought that AJ was Jericho was turning on him, but apparently not.
I mean, this could be one of those very short-lived things. Yeah. Who knows? Frankly, I'd rather see, like, AJ versus Owens or something.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Who is Owens going to be facing anyway? Are they going to do a big multi-man?
I'm thinking so, because they haven't really paired him off with anyone, and there's a lot of guys with nothing to do right now.
And not surprising, unfortunately.
Yeah. Yep.
So, I guess the big thing right now is they're going to build to Roadblock while keeping the other matches kind of on the back burner, but one person not at Roadblock is The Undertaker, who has appeared. He wasn't kept off television like he was last year, where his first appearance was at Mania. They brought him in, and from what I understand, it certainly reads like the entire use of The Undertaker here was direct,
literally
feckless. How do you want to call it?
Yeah, he showed up, he grabbed Vince by the throat, said, "Whatever happens to Shane is your fault," and leaves. That's what it boiled down to.
So,
And The Undertaker did not get suspended for 90 days for touching Vince.
Oh, my God. So the idea here is Vince wants to give Shane McMahon, quote-unquote, one last fucking beating.
Yes.
And to do that, he sicks the Undertaker on him. Undertaker is not only apparently fine with it, but also wants to make sure to intimidate Vince.
Yeah.
Why is he doing this? Like, if he were to say, I don't lose at WrestleMania, I don't care who I hurt, I'm a badass, I'll kick anybody's ass, whatever, great. But he just showed up and said, his blood's on your hands.
And then Vince basically said he's writing Shane out of the will, he's writing Shane out of the family, and he'll what was the line? He'll no longer be my son, he'll only be a son of a bitch.
Yeah.
So, bravo, Vince. I really hope Linda wasn't watching.
I don't think she would mind.
I don't know.
She was quite fine with Vince McMahon making out with Trish Stratus directly in front of her.
She was drugged at the time.
Oh, that's right. I forgot.
And then she kicked him in the balls over that. So
she did. She did.
Yeah.
Good on you, Linda.
Oh,
2016.
One absolutely baffling thing I want to mention is they appear to be doing something with Nikki Bella and Lana.
Brie Bella.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, the one that doesn't have the fucked up neck. Which is all the work anyway.
Yeah, so they're setting up some kind of Brie and Lana feud where Lana's mocking Brie over her husband's injury, which is kind of silly.
Yeah, and now I guess Lana is finally going to be making her wrestling debut on the main roster. Televised.
We'll see. I have a feeling it's going to lead to some kind of proxy match.
Who's going to wrestle for Brie? Nikki?
No.
Did she make her triumphant return and elbow?
Rusev? Yeah.
Like, who would wrestle for Brie? The logical person cannot wrestle anymore.
No. But there's... I don't know. Like, it's kind of interesting.
Remember the Bella's brother? He could do it. Oh my god, Johnny Ace!
Of course!
That's her dad now!
We're set. It's perfect.
Johnny Ace versus Rusev at WrestleMania.
People power.
Or you know what? It could be like you could do that at Roadblock. And since Johnny Ace taught Randy Orton the RKO, he didn't really, but you could sell that if Randy Orton's ready. Put him there with Rusev at Mania. He's going to get revenge for his move father.
Yeah. Stephanie
it books itself.
Yeah. Stephanie cut this really long, annoying promo
that
I muted.
Good.
I just.
Yeah, well, that's the thing about her is this is going to justify another year of her cutting bad promos. So, like, I don't give a shit if you cut one good promo. Most people cut good promos every time, and the bad ones are an aberration. She cuts one good one a goddamn year, and just, oh, goody, goody, she's so good.
Yeah, and Ryback pinned Adam Rose, which I really dislike Ryback.
Not a surprise. Do you like his new gear, though?
I don't care.
He's huge.
I don't care.
Big guy, big traps.
Yeah, but it's just, he's so unsafe.
He is extraordinarily unsafe and has not gotten any better.
No, I mean, for a dude who's been around, like, in developmental for, what, a decade?
I mean, he was in developmental for longer than most people, and he's probably been on the main roster for the same amount of time. So he's been a pro wrestler for a very long time.
And it's just absolutely inexcusable. Luke Harper was also written off Roadblock. He's no longer advertised. And
oh.
Yeah, well, at Fastlane...
he fucked up his goddamn arm at Fastlane?
Yeah.
Well, that's not a surprise.
Yeah, like, you know, dude might be funny on Twitter, but if you can't do your job safely without injuring your coworkers who are depending on you to do your job safely, you shouldn't be doing this job.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Ryback is a fun guy to act like you like, but when you actually, like, get down to it, he's bad.
Oh,
I don't
he's
like
awful.
Him. He's bad.
Yeah.
He's a danger to himself, and that's fine, because all the risk is upon himself.
Yeah.
But he's a danger to others, too, so then it's not fine.
No.
He's gonna kill people.
He's got a history of this. I mean, especially when he was working with, like, the local enhancement talent. Like, he was brutal with that. It's like, okay, the first time it's funny, but if he's going to be legitimately hurting people, there's bigger guys who are more talented and safer workers.
Yeah.
Is the bottom line.
But he's the biggest. The most muscular.
Yeah. They could have Ryan Cage.
Oh my god, that'd be so good. He doesn't hurt anybody but himself constantly.
Yeah.
And he's a much better athlete. He's never fallen out of the ring almost when he's doing a high knee. He only lands on his head when he's doing a quebrada.
And he's a machine.
He's a fucking machine.
Yeah. Well, you'd know better than me.
Do you think that's what he means when he says he's a fucking machine? That he just, like, fucks for a long time? Like he's into tantric sex?
Or, yeah, or he's just got a slow mechanical rhythm.
That could be, too.
Yeah.
Or he's, like, literally, like, some sort of pneumatic fuck machine.
Could be.
Like he is a dildo on a stick.
Oh,
jutting
I,
rhythmically.
The other match I wanted to mention was Becky and Sasha, which was fine, except for the absolutely horrendous ending.
Oh god, that was the sunset flip ending.
Yes.
Tell the story.
So they go for a sunset flip off the ropes. And Sasha
like a,
has sort of like a
sunset flip bomb kinda.
Yeah.
A little more gentle, but that's the idea from the turnbuckle sunset flip over power bomb. How Seth fucked his knee up, except you don't land on your feet.
Yeah. So Sasha hits Becky with the move, inexplicably loses consciousness for 3 seconds, leading to the double pin.
Yeah, the only thing I can think is because she lands with her head up, like she has to like hit her the front of her head on Becky's ass and or nether region, and that caused her damage.
But, you know, it was one of those things, the camera angle showed nothing like that.
Well, even still, it wouldn't...
It's stupid.
It wouldn't do that.
Yeah,
like, she literally got her in pinning position and then went, oh, it's time for a nice nap, and laid back and got pinned.
Well, I guess I don't need to work anymore.
I got this one in the bag, time for a well-deserved sleep.
Yeah, it was horrendous and really brought down the match. Yeah. Which was a fun little match. I mean, average.
So it seems certainly like the Mania match is going to be a triple threat.
Yes, I mean, they're just really being ham-fisted about it.
We finally get, we don't get the Shield triple threat, but we do get this.
Yeah, which I'm okay with.
Yeah, it's going to be good. It's going to be really good, and the crowd will probably be receptive to it, and then it'll probably get cut on time in the 4 minutes, and it won't be good, actually.
Yeah. Basically, a lot of people describe this Raw as really good in the first 2 hours, and the third one just fell off a cliff.
Yeah, I heard Vince actually, after Taker left, did a good promo.
Yeah.
So,
but that's where that son of a bitch line came in, and it's like, really?
But, yeah, I mean, it just sounds like it was a show that had some good stuff. Ambrose is looking good.
Yeah.
Triple H is being fun.
Yeah, I mean, it just... Really, they had some decent stuff, but it just ran out of momentum in that third hour.
You know, and it really doesn't, it doesn't feel like Mania season to me. And I think I said that the last few Mania. No, with Brian, I didn't say that.
No.
With Brian, it felt like fucking Mania was coming. Mm-hmm. With this, it just kind of feels like, oh, Mania's coming.
Yeah, I guess. Stuff's going to happen, or whatever.
You know what, and it's going to be good, most likely.
Yeah, I mean, the wrestling itself is going to be great. I mean, they've got a decent roster, wrestling-wise, talent-wise.
Yeah.
There's, like, basically there's no excuse for a match to be under 2.5 or 3 stars in any time.
I mean, the Battle Royal might not be as good as the one with Cesaro, but, you know, you never know. It's going to be a good-ass show.
Yeah.
Now... The one thing we haven't really touched on at Roadblock is they are, in fact, doing the Bray Wyatt-Brock Lesnar match.
I don't care about Bray Wyatt.
No. But if they do go for a long match, and they like to keep Bray strong, so they probably will, this is probably going to be a pretty good match.
Oh, yeah. I mean, for all my problems with Bray, his wrestling has never really been one of them.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It'll be fine. It'll be fun, I'm sure.
I think so.
Yeah.
So, one thing that we've kind of touched on that we wanted to go more in depth on, they are keeping Roman Reigns off of TV for now, and is that a smart move? And what we're kind of meaning by that is Roman Reigns, whether he can be there or not, whether the nasal surgery is keeping him off or not, either or, he's not there. Is this going to help the WrestleMania main event? Is it going to help him? Is it going to help his feud with Triple H? Is the longer you keep him off going to heat things up somehow when he comes back? What do you think? Good, bad, or indifferent?
I think it's a good idea in theory. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if the execution's going to pan off. I don't know how... The crowd was pretty damn hostile the last time. I mean, when they are cheering one more time after the babyface gets planted with a pedigree on the steps, there's a lot of damage to undo.
Yeah.
I think he might get that kind of welcome back pop at a surprise.
For being off for like 3 weeks.
Maybe.
You never know, yeah. You know what? I think... The fact that this is even a question is an indictment on how weak Roman Reigns is as a challenger.
Yeah.
And Lord knows we say it every week, really like the guy's wrestling. I think he's very good. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not a think. It's not that I think. He is a very good wrestler. There's no denying that. You can say he's not as good as some, and that's absolutely true. But he's a very good wrestler.
Yeah.
But the point stands, the guy is not hot right now at all, no matter how hot he is from a looks department, no matter how muscular the guy is, no matter if that he has the right look, no matter how good his matches are, he's not the WrestleMania main eventer that they've wanted him to be. They've been trying for 3 years now,
mm-hmm.
and it's just not working. I mean, the fact that it might be better, that we're discussing that it might be better that he's not on TV, means that he don't mean shit.
It's really bad. It's quite dire.
Right?
Yeah, and I think a lot of it is, as we've discussed too, is that there's so many people I'd rather see in his position. Mm-hmm. And there's so many people where it would feel more organic, like the crowd had a say in the matter. And with Roman, it's just this, right now, it's a round hole in a square peg. He just... The fans don't want him where he is. That's not to say they don't want him on TV. Or that's not to say he shouldn't be around, period.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is that there's a lot more people who are more worthy of the top spot.
And to me, it's not even a matter of... It's not even worth bringing up the worthiness part. It's like, is he the guy or not? And he's not.
No.
And he's not the guy because he's not getting the reaction and he's not moving the needle. And
the bottom line is, like, if they had Triple H lose, if they had the stones to do that at Roadblock.
To Dean?
Yeah. I mean, it's not going to happen, I know. But if they did that, you would buy Ambrose as a dude, as the champ, right away.
Absolutely would.
And that's the thing where I feel like Dean could win it. Dean has something about him where you want him to win.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And even in the triple threat, you know, everybody was like, Dean's not going to win. He's just there to get pinned. But people still held out that hope.
Despite themselves, they still wanted to believe. Absolutely.
And it's funny because... They're not trying to book him like an underdog, but he's the underdog.
Yeah, and you know what? Like, you look at how he always gets beat one spear, right?
Yeah.
He can kick out of anything else, but he can't kick out of the spear. That is, to me, that's going to be the justification for when he turns. You know, that makes him look weak. Not the justification, I should clarify.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be, that's something that makes him weaker. That's something that makes him clearly... inferior to Roman,
mm-hmm.
and that's going to play a part when he turns heel, if he does.
And
I don't, like, right now, I think that's the plan. We're going to talk about this idea that it's come out that, as of right now, there are no plans to turn Dean Ambrose heel. I think, like you've kind of posited, that might be a little sleight of hand.
Yeah.
But we'll talk about that. Where were we? I'm sorry, I kind of got off on a...
Not to worry, basically, we were kind of wrapping up Raw, and I think we can segue into some of the stuff the company is doing wrong.
Yes.
Because a lot of the stuff they've done with Roman, let's face it, is wrong.
Absolutely.
Because it's like, I'll just stay with Roman and what they're doing wrong with Roman right now. With Roman, it's like they're trying to do a mirror image of the Daniel Bryan WrestleMania 30 push. And with that, like, it felt like the Authority was genuinely trying to just do anything in their power to get rid of Daniel Bryan.
Well, and that's that new kayfabe stuff that you had mentioned many show ago. You know, that was part of the reality leading into the kayfabe, and that was the case.
Yeah, and, you know, you saw, for those times, you saw the Authority losing their cool. And Daniel Bryan looked like an underdog.
Yeah.
And he felt like an underdog. And when he won, it felt like it was a win for everybody. Because the crowd got what they wanted.
Absolutely.
And with Roman Reigns, Roman Reigns doesn't look like a plucky, sarcastic underdog.
No, and he's not. He doesn't.
No. I mean, you could book Seth as an underdog. Like, he's not he's built and he's jacked, but in the aesthetic of WWE, Seth looks smaller than Ryback, or Seth is smaller than Big Show, or there's a lot of people bigger than Seth.
Yeah, he's smaller than Triple H.
Yeah. So, you can book Seth as an underdog. You can book a lot of people as an underdog. Ambrose feels like an underdog, and he's technically bigger than Roman. But you can't have Roman come out and be this kind of, aw shucks, kind of face. The fans know he's the handpicked guy.
Yeah, and they even brought that up as a plot point leading into the prior WrestleMania, which was clearly a botch.
Yes.
You know, they should not have done that. That went, you know, on the Snowed Out show.
Yeah.
And they never went back to that because it was completely contrary to their storyline, but it makes it very clear that they know how people intimate it, and that's a problem.
Yeah.
You know, when you're pushing someone as, you know, against all odds, this guy is going to overcome, and he's clearly your choice, and he's clearly not clicking, that's another big thing, because no one would care if it's your choice if he's clicking, because nobody's going to be thinking about that shit because they're going to be so very entertained.
Yes.
And Roman Reigns didn't click then. He's, to me, honestly, he doesn't get as divided a reaction nowadays, but he's actually less over in general now than he was 1 year ago.
He's getting less of a reaction.
That's what it feels like. So he might get less boos in general, but he gets less everything in general.
Yeah. I see exactly what you're saying with that.
And that's bad. It's mania. You're ramping up. You have the big angle where he kills Triple H. You have the big angle where he knocks out Vince McMahon. Mm-hmm. You have the big angle where he wins the title. And you pissed it away so quick.
Well, the thing is, wrestling has its own reality. Like, its own little internal laws and physics. You whip somebody against the rope, he's going to run back and he's going to bounce and come back at you.
Thanks, Dano.
So, the thing is, for Roman Reigns, they have bent and broken their own physics and their own in-universe rules so blatantly that it just completely takes you out of your suspension of disbelief, because you know they're going from point A to point B. And point B is Roman getting the title back. So, damn logic or storytelling or anything making sense, they're getting to that point. Roman lost a title match, or Roman lost the title, lost his tight rematch, and immediately gets put into another rematch. Where the Authority should have been, like, sipping champagne and being like, aha, son of a bitch, you're
exactly.
never getting...
Like,
so they've just broken and twisted their own rules to fit their narrative and make Roman win, and that's why there's that apathy.
Yeah, and they're not a good foil for him at all. They haven't been. Vince was when he came back, and he was the only one.
Mm-hmm.
And then he eventually devolved into cartoonishness again.
Yeah.
You have Triple H beat the fuck out of Roman, one-on-one, man-to-man, pretty much. I mean, just beat the fuck out of him. And it's funny, too, because he did that with Dean as well.
Mm-hmm.
But nobody turned on Dean. Nobody's turning on Dean, you know? And
again, like, if anything, Ambrose is more in that position.
Yeah.
of being Daniel Bryan. Because Ambrose doesn't fit their look.
And let me say this about Dean Ambrose. Not my favorite guy. Not my favorite wrestler. One of my favorite talkers in the company when he's allowed to. I think he's phenomenal at that, but he's not as good a wrestler to me. He's not as good as Cena. He's not as good as Owens. He's not as good as Cesaro. He's not as good even as a Tyson Kidd. If Tyson Kidd could ever wrestle again, he's not as good as – he wasn't as good as Daniel Bryan, obviously.
But, I mean, Ambrose –
he's not as good as Triple H even.
Ambrose, too. He's also very young.
Yeah, absolutely. But more to the point, it's like, I'm not advocating for him because I'm such a big fan or anything.
Yeah.
It's just the truth. The reality of the situation is Dean Ambrose is more ready for that position than anyone else in the company.
And it's the fans want it.
Right. They clearly do. Mm-hmm. And you know what? You'd go with him. And you push him and you do everything you're doing with Roman, he wouldn't be rejected. You could do all the things that people point to and say, well, they're doing this wrong. They're doing this wrong. And technically they are doing this wrong and that wrong and the other thing wrong. Like we touched on, you know, they're not being as strong. They don't have internal logic. They're not being good foils for him. They're not being good heels. They're not they're beating him up outright. You could do all this shit with him as they're doing right now, as they did with him and Seth. They had him lose to Seth like it was nothing right before Roman gets hurt. He beat Seth. If you remember before he went away. But you could do all the things you did with Roman, Dean would be more over. He would be more, not only more over than Roman, he'd be more over than he is right now. He'd be the most over guy in the company, most likely. It wouldn't backfire because he's just better. He has that connection, and maybe the connection is just je ne sais quoi. You don't know why, but it's there.
Yeah. He feels very genuine. Roman still has this veneer to me, like... He always feels like a bad actor.
He's steeped in just the slightest bit of disingenuousness.
Yeah, and I've mentioned some of those out-of-character interviews where it's just like he talks about making money and doing this and doing that, and it's like, okay, fair enough. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of actors and stuff who do take roles for a paycheck. That's cool. Maybe not necessarily the easiest way to connect.
Yeah, plus... Wrestling is its own pernicious and peculiar beast.
Yeah. He feels very much like somebody playing a part.
Exactly. Ambrose, like, and that's the thing. All wrestlers are, but not all of them seem like it.
Mm-hmm. And most of the greats talk about being themselves cranked to 11.
Right.
And that's what it feels like it is with Ambrose.
I don't doubt him.
Yeah. I don't feel like I'm watching some dude... reciting his lines, playing a part, you know, standing on his mark.
Absolutely.
I do feel that with Roman. I do feel like I'm watching a performance.
See, I only feel that ever so slightly, but it's that bit of doubt, that little sense of doubt, that makes him from, you know, takes him from being a guy who is good at this. It's the difference between being very good at being a pro wrestler and being a top guy.
Yeah.
You know, and until he figures out how to project more of a – how to get that connection, and that's tied into him being unable to project that genuine art – to be – to represent that genuine article, I guess is the best way to put it. He comes off – everybody – when you're a wrestler, you're yourself, but you're not yourself.
Yeah.
And to everyone out there, you know, it doesn't matter so much, but – deep down, when in the subconscious, you look at somebody, you believe them. And that's what people always had about the top guy. I mean, even Stone Cold Steve Austin, when he was the top guy, had worked himself up into such a – he thought he could beat up Mike Tyson when Mike Tyson was there. If it came down to it, if they came to blows, he believed he could beat Mike Tyson's ass because he bought into his own bullshit. Look at Bret Hart. You know, this is a guy who has called Ric Flair shit. He calls – Triple H shit, he calls Shawn Michaels shit. You know, it's like, they're not great because I'm great, and it's only great if you do it my way. And he's not going to put it that way, obviously, but he sucked up into his own mind all these guys. You don't have to go to that degree, but you have to have that singular sense of character where you never betray who you are. And nobody quite got it like Dean Ambrose. Well, Kevin Owens got it like Dean Ambrose. You never get the feeling like it's a guy playing a role. He's always doing it, he's always himself, and he's always just perfectly in character. And that's one thing that Roman is lacking in just the slightest degree, and that's the thing holding him back to me. He just doesn't – well, and, you know, part of that boils over into, like, he's not as quick on the mic. He's a little bit scared sometimes, it seems like, to go off script. When he does, he just fucking botches it most of the time, like where he told – when I was in Chicago watching him live, and he goes, "No, Chicago, this ain't boring. This is my life. He's trying to ruin my life."
It's like,
that's how you respond. So anyway, this was a discussion on why don't.
And I think, honestly, like, for him to turn heel, if they just kind of let him exploit that kind of befuddlement and kind of bitterness.
Yeah.
That would be great.
I'm sure he has a lot to say.
Yeah, and if they would let him say that and let him tap into that, it would be fantastic. Just give him some bullet points, give him a script, and say, okay, if you need to deviate. I feel like also it's a sign of bad direction. I've seen, like, not fan movies, but just, I've seen movies made independently where directors are so rigid on their script that the actors have to say it word for word.
Yeah.
Even if there's a word choice that would flow better, or that the actor, that just the actor kind of instinctively does, they will just repeat ad nauseum until they get the words they want. And it's that way with, I feel like it's that way with the writing sometimes, where they're so tightly hamstrung that even when they know they're saying something stupid or nonsensical, they say it anyways.
Completely agree. Completely agree.
So.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, that's a and that's kind of one of those things where this topic was going on. It was, why does so much about WWE not make any rational sense? And I had notes here about, you look at the announcing. Mm-hmm. The announcing is terrible on Raw. It has been terrible forever.
It's been getting better.
Okay, but before we get into that, like we talked about, Ambrose, for the longest time, clearly a better connection than Roman Reigns. Mm-hmm. Probably still does. I mean, not even probably, going by Monday's reaction and everything. When we debuted the Divas Revolution, it was dead on arrival. Everybody knew it. Everybody knew it. They kept pushing on, and they kept telling, not showing. They kept presenting the worst shit, presenting the stupid three-way stable feud, and no one cared, and rightfully so. And they're only now back to the point where they're doing what they should have done by pushing the three really good talents that they brought up and putting them together and letting them do it themselves. You look at things like where Kevin Owens is on the roster and where he should be. Look at the entire history of the Authority. The worst goddamn stable. Like, this was a main event stable. You flip-flop on face and heel. You did the same thing with the Bellas, and that was stupid, too. But the Authority, flip-flop on face and heel. You have Triple H.
Be like, you know, Cool Dad in NXT.
Which, again, you're yourself, but you're not yourself. And that's an extension of the Triple H character, whether he likes it or not. I think that undermines a lot of what they're doing. I'm sure he loves being the Cool Dad. I mean, I know he does.
Yeah, I think that's more him than, like, the Authority, honestly.
Yeah.
But for me, one thing that always takes me out of that reality as well is seeing, like, all their cool video packages about all the charity work they do, and bam, there's Stephanie.
Yep.
And she's there, and she's doing that terrifying smile of hers. And it's, for many years, Vince would do a lot of stuff for the Boys and Girls Club. But when he was in full Mr. McMahon mode, they didn't show that stuff. They didn't really show Vince out of character. He was always this cartoony weirdo. And to constantly say, look at the brand awareness, look at Stephanie, like, reading with kids and donating all this money to kids. It's like, it creates that ambivalence, that confusion.
A cognitive dissonance.
Yeah.
And it's not to say that you can't talk about this shit, like, elsewhere. It's not to say that. Everybody, like, nobody is advocating here for the curtain to go back up. It can't. It never really was up all that much, but people...
At the same time, like, don't show your top heel, you know, smiling and happy and donating money to sick kids.
Don't do it on your fucking TV, at the very least. Don't do it on your TV. If you're going to do it on your website...
Do it on social media, it's fine.
Send them to Good Morning America and do your press releases and all that shit, sure.
Absolutely.
But you know, the more of it you do, the more you strip away the specialness, the believability of these characters. And that's why people, like, that is why Undertaker, for example, is still such a special attraction. It's not just because he's not around. It's because when he's not around, he ain't doing anything else. You don't see him doing this shit.
You don't see him, like, at home with, like, them showing an Instagram, the Undertaker at home playing with his kids.
Right. Exactly. Or Mark Calloway, by the way. Yeah. He's a good guy, and here he is for Make-A-Wish, and he's going to be back next week as the Undertaker. You don't do that. He doesn't have a Twitter. He doesn't, you know how it goes. But it's just weird to me that they have to know, right? And when Shane came back, he cut the promo saying, your ratings suck. You've been running this company into the ground and blah, blah, blah. And these are not things you say just to say them. I mean, they know. They can't be ignorant of it. So they have to know all of these things and still do them. And that's just insane to me.
It's this company, like when I've talked about it. They want to get to point B. They want to get to Roman Reigns as champion and over in the way they want him to be over. And come hell or high water, they will get to that point regardless.
They, in fact, are not going to get to that point. There is a way they can get to that point, and they are completely unwilling to do it.
Yeah.
I hope his merch is really moving well, because that's the only thing you lose when you turn him heel.
And even at that, like, if you say people didn't buy NWO shirts, or people... That's not to say people won't buy heel merch, especially if it's kind of a cool heel.
True.
And, you know what? Maybe take that hit. But, I mean, I understand where they're coming from, because I think Cena said something like his merch was like a fifth, like, of the company's profits. That could obviously have been exaggerated.
Maybe a fifth of the merch profits?
Yeah, something like that.
That would definitely be believable. So, I mean, merch moves. The merch is a lot of money for them, but, you know, TV deals are much more important. And
TV deals, network.
It's a staid-ass product. It still is.
Yeah.
Anyway, I just look at the WWE as a whole and wonder how... Why? Like, if it was one thing, but the announcing has been terrible forever, so it's evidently what they want. You know what I mean?
But the thing is, like, there's such a gaggle of yes men at the top.
I know, and we've talked about
and this. And they have so few people that will be willing to challenge them on things.
You know, and the bigger problem is they themselves are unwilling to be challenged.
Yeah.
Because you don't get yes men unless you want them.
Exactly.
And that is bad.
Yeah, you need to have some of those people who are somewhat independent and somewhat people that you respect.
Yeah.
And that if they say, oh, this is stupid, why don't we try this? Or this won't work. If they can have some people veto or just generate some discussion, then that it keeps the product healthy. I've talked about this, like, in business clubs where we rotate leadership because when one person stays at the top for too long, their bad habits fester and get ingrained.
Exactly.
Every leader has their good qualities and their bad.
Well, not all leaders have any good qualities. Most do.
I mean, I'm just talking in general. Like, for instance, one lady, she might get the meetings run on time, but the tone is really clinical. Somebody else might be a little bit warmer, but things start to run late because people are talking. And every single leader has their habits. And the longer somebody stays in power, the more those bad habits get entrenched. And they just kind of fester, and then they're accepted as status quo.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And... You know, the mark of a good leader is not allowing that to happen, and the mark of, well, most, especially egomaniacal ones, is to suspend Titus O'Neil for 60 days for touching you.
Yeah.
But anyway, enough about that. Go ahead and tell me about the latest episode of Lucha Underground.
This
is a show about fake luchadors fighting in a temple of sorts.
It's so good.
You like this show a lot.
I do.
Even though Matt Stryker is a commentator. commentator.
You know what? He and Vampiro have really gotten... They've really started to gel very well. And Vampiro doesn't let Stryker get carried away.
That's surprising.
He did initially, but Vampiro kind of found his own voice eventually, and they're decent.
That's good. That is good.
So basically, the show opened with Mill and Katrina. And Mill was quite pissed off that Katrina didn't let Pentagon face him. And
right.
So they actually had a bit of a squabble. And
yeah, he tried to kill her.
Yeah.
And she disappeared.
Yep. Again, like Lucha I was talking about this with WWE. It has set its rules. It has set the rules within that reality. So that's the thing. It hasn't broken those rules yet.
I suppose.
It's like a movie with a slasher movie villain. The second, you know, okay, they only kill brunettes on Friday night and blondes on Tuesdays. And
me too.
That, you know, that builds up tension because, okay, the main character's a blonde. And it's Monday, so oh shit, she's in danger tomorrow. But the second they start breaking those rules or trying to overcomplicate things, it loses a lot of its tension.
Mm.
The opening match was Sexy Star versus Cobra Moon.
Oh, God.
From what I heard, this was very heavily edited.
This had to be the worst shit they've ever shown.
Yeah, someone said it was like the worst match at the taping, but they kept it quite short, and Sexy Star lost via distraction. And she tapped out because Marty the Moth was there.
Ah.
Yeah.
Was Marty the Moth's sister revealed yet?
Not yet.
Not yet. You know, it kind of sucks that someone, I don't know, the name Cobra Moon is pretty cool.
It is,
just sucks
but...
that she is so bad.
Yeah, she is very, very bad.
Yeah, she's young, but I don't care.
Yeah, there's a lot of better people they could have gotten.
You know, we had Chavo Guerrero on the show, and I was quite fine with him being the shittiest guy, and now Cobra Moon is far worse. And Chavo's not as bad as Sexy Star anyway, but...
Apparently Chavo's basically like a road agent type thing for them as well, so I'm fine with that. He provides a very important role backstage, and... He's not trying to make himself a main event guy. He's kind of a mid-level stooge. And that's cool. Like, that's a fine spot for Chavo.
Nah, he's bad.
I'm not saying he's great, but I'm saying he's fine where he is.
I guess.
Okay.
There's so many good luchadors, and he's not even a luchador.
I know, but he's where he is, and that's not going to change, so.
Ramon, now that's a luchador right there.
Yeah, she got a mask and everything. Puma versus Pentagon Jr. was a very fun match.
Awesome.
Yeah, it ended in a double DQ when Mil Muertes came out and wrecked them both.
Ah.
So, yeah.
Mil Muertes has healed.
Yes.
Can I ask something?
Sure.
Are in universe.
Okay.
Why are people competing there? Is this show like televised? Do they monetize it? Like is this Underground Fighting League? I mean, people are there, so one would presume that the stakes are high. People are getting paid.
Yes.
So, like, the idea is this is some sort of legitimate sports league with a teleporting witch.
It's
a
more
dead
like
guy.
It's more like an underground fight club kind of thing.
With the supernatural elements.
Yes. I mean, the arena is basically called the temple.
Yeah.
And if even in the ladder match they had, like, the ladders were kind of grimy and gross, and they looked like they'd just been pulled out of the janitor's closet. Like, that's part of the aesthetic.
I get that. I'm just curious what's motivating everyone. Like, is
money.
Lucha Underground a TV show in their universe? I'm assuming it's not. Assuming it's just, like, Fight Club.
Yeah. And a lot of it is fighting for the sake of it, or Dario Cuerto would, you know, instigate fights for the sake of violence because he loves violence, and so he would pay people to go out and fight. And that's kind of carried on. and people have got title shots or they feel like they've earned their title shots, and it's kind of building onto itself. So it's been quite fun.
Yeah, I was just curious about that because I wasn't sure how, why in universe, if they bothered justifying why everyone was there fighting. I imagine they did.
They did. I mean,
so good.
Yeah, a lot of it, like even Justin Gabriel, when he came in, he said, you know, he's heard this is where to be for that kind of thrill of danger. Mm-hmm. And that's what he's all about.
So you had those two matches. Was that not the main event?
No. The main event was Phoenix versus Cuerno in a ladder match.
Okay, that should have been really good.
It was phenomenal. Absolutely great.
Excellent.
Yeah, and Phoenix won.
Phoenix beat Cuerno.
Yeah.
Good.
To win the Gift of the Gods championship.
He beat Cuerno for Cuerno's title. So now Phoenix can cash in whatever he wants, even though Katrina apparently won't let you, so...
Yeah. Initially, Cuerno was kind of working with Mill.
Yeah.
Where he just wanted to fight people.
He wanted to take their pelts.
Yeah, he wanted to... Well, he's a hunter.
Exactly.
And the way he said it was his prey would come to him now, because he had this thing that they wanted. Mm. So, that was kind of cool.
It's actually very creative.
Yeah. Yeah, it's got some good stuff. They'll be doing their Aztec Warfare 2, which was a lot of fun last year. Very similar to the Rumble type thing, but pinfall and submission.
Pinfall, and also over the top rope, right? Or no?
I can't remember.
Was it like a Rumble, or was it like...
It might be that WCW type thing where it's a Rumble until the last two. I can't remember, to be honest, but I remember I really liked.
Yeah, because there's two typical ways to do it, where it's time entrances or it's one-on-one, and then when one guy gets beat, the next guy comes out.
It's time entrances.
Okay.
So
it should be good.
Yeah.
That's usually like an all-show thing.
I believe so, yeah.
Good. Good, good, good.
A lot of fun.
So how did the show end? Did it just end with the win?
Yeah, it just ended with the win. There was no stinger this time.
Okay.
So, no Dario.
I heard there was another faux commercial for...
Yeah.
What's the fella's name?
Famous B.
Famous B. Selling cars or something.
No, he's selling the opportunity to be famous.
Ah.
So he's basically going to be a manager.
Right. And yeah. Also, Dragon Azteca and Rey Mysterio did more kung fu.
Yes.
What the fuck's with that?
Basically...
I mean, there I know I you explained last week with the seven tribes, and you got to unite the tribes.
And... Yeah. And Azteca was actually watching the commercial in Universe.
Oh, that's good.
And Mysterio's like, quit it. There's no time for distractions.
Now, who the fuck is Dragon Azteca? Do we know?
I'm not sure who he is now. What?
Apparently it's Rey Horus.
I don't know.
Yeah, he's wrestled as El Hijo del, or Hijo, de Rey Mysterio for a time. But I've seen him on indie shows. He's worked for Evolve.
Yeah.
He's pretty good.
Right on.
So, where were we? That's Lucha Underground for you.
Yeah. Decent show. I mean, the ladder match was amazing. A lot of it just felt like build up for that. A lot of setup coming up, so I think... Aztec Warfare is kind of like a mini pay-per-view within their universe.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a mid-season thing where it starts to ramp up the storylines.
Exactly.
Ramp them up, start the new ones, etc.
Unfortunately, we've got to ramp up here because I got to be out in about 15, so let's go ahead and blow through the last two and then hit questions, shall we?
Deal.
All right, so as you are a regular... or semi-regular viewer of SmackDown, I wanted to ask about how Mauro Ranallo is doing as the lead commentator there.
I think he's great.
You maintained your same level of enthusiasm for him that you had, you know, when he first started his first show? Like, is he keeping it up? Have you noticed anything about him that aggravates you?
Not really. I mean, I just really appreciate that the level of enthusiasm he brings.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
It feels so much more credible. And JBL doesn't walk all over him. And the other people don't walk all over him in terms of, like, verbiage.
It's Graves and Lawler, right?
Yeah. And Lawler, like, he feels way more engaged than he has in ages.
Yeah, he's going back. He's heel again.
Yeah, and he just...
for Trump.
Yeah, he feels like he's into what's going on again. So, yeah, no problems with Mauro.
So, do you think he should be, like, in a perfect world, play-by-play on pay-per-view?
Yeah, I mean, he did quite good in the opening bit for Fastlane.
Yeah, and he's been a live guy, you know, his whole career, so it's not like he doesn't know how to do live commentary.
Yeah.
And just in general, the SmackDown presentation, they had talked before SmackDown moved to USA, the big discussion was, how's it going to differentiate itself? Big change is coming. And as far as I can tell, realistically speaking, the only big change is the commentary change. I haven't seen really any big change as far as presentation goes or anything like that.
A lot of the two, like, it feels less micromanaged than Raw.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, the atmosphere just feels a little bit looser compared to Raw. The Intercontinental title gets featured a lot more on SmackDown.
Interesting.
So, it's not a brand split, but it feels like there's a different focus on SmackDown, which is nice.
I guess that would be nice. That's something they needed to do.
Mm-hmm. And it kind of brings those titles back a little bit more prestigious. Makes them feel more important.
If they do it right, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's a long road to hoe, though.
Okay.
And the Dean Ambrose thing, the reports coming in that there is no plan currently to turn Dean Ambrose heel, that they want to make him strong, keep him strong. They're sounding like they're going to do something at, Roadblock, not just having him get beat clean. Smart move or purposefully leaked, as you put it here, for swerve purposes. Do you think it's a little bit of misdirection?
Yeah, it just seemed like an odd bit of news to come out at this point.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, like, if they turn him heel, his obvious feud is Reigns, and there's no way that Reigns gets cheered over Dean.
Right.
I don't think it's possible, so I think they'd be really stupid to turn Ambrose heel right now, but this company has done some very stupid things in the past.
I don't think it's dumb to turn him heel. Like, who put against Reigns to get Reigns cheered anyway?
Owens?
I don't know. I mean, Owens is, like, the best at working a match to be the heel and to turn people, but...
Exactly.
When the stakes are that high, it seems like people always go with the guy they like deep down more.
Yeah, and I don't know. Like, I think Owens would be able to manipulate the crowd to boo.
Maybe.
I think he'd be good at that.
I think he has the best shot of it as more than any other indie darling, let's say that.
If he can't do it, nobody can.
Yeah, that's kind of my point. Like, so. Maybe no one can. Who knows?
Yeah.
Like, I personally think... If it's not Owens, like, if you make Owens strong, he can be a good heel for Roman, you know, post-Mania. Yeah. The big money matches are with Brock Lesnar as it is, because Brock Lesnar's the big star, so he's going to get booed in those anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And it's such forest through the trees shit to obsess as they do over whether he gets cheered or not. Just have the match, have him be him, let him cheer who they want, let him boo who they want, and do business. Make some money. Yeah. Doesn't fucking matter.
Nope. But this company is very stubborn with that in that regard.
That they can be.
Yeah, and so they've just got to loosen their death grip a little bit.
That'd be
and
nice.
Just let people have a little bit more flexibility in their performance. So, I mean... I think that's one of the big things that's really hurting them right now. And we've had that discussion before, that cookie cutter feeling.
Yeah, and you know, it just, we keep having the discussion because it keeps being in play, and you almost feel badly because it's like, am I just really beating on this drum again? And if it's salient, if it's germane to the conversation, then you keep having it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't stop just because they're never going to get it. You keep bringing it up.
Yeah.
But it is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And they are who they are.
Yeah.
So we were going to talk about NXT, if only briefly. I guess we got a minute or two here. Do you want to just talk really quickly about what happened on the latest edition of NXT?
Main event was Balor and Neville. Fantastic.
Great match, I would imagine. Yeah.
Worth checking out. Like, find it. Like, check it out independently. Mm-hmm. Really solid.
Balor went over, I imagine.
Yes. But it was a great face versus face. Like, you could tell Neville was ready to work heel if he had to. Mm-hmm. Just from body language. But he didn't have to. The crowd was so into the match anyway.
Former NXT champion. Feels hard to... It's almost hard to remember that, in a way.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, it was crazy. Because you could just see, like, if he had to... Like, if the crowd was cool on it, Neville would have gone more heel. But he didn't need to. And so... Absolutely great match. Really good storytelling. Really a lot of fun.
Good. Anything else to note from that show?
One, the bro, Hype Bros did a promo,
mm-hmm.
walked away from the promo area, and the vaudevillains snuck out from behind the set and just schemed. It was great.
The vaudevillains are a fun act.
They are. It's one of those things, like, it's destined to fail on the main roster, but...
Yeah, I mean, there is a ceiling for that kind of act, but...
Yeah.
In NXT, they seem to just be allowed to be a mid-card tag team and...
Have fun with it.
That's exactly what they should be, and it should be great.
Yep. Alrighty.
We did skip a topic. The edgier direction right now. WWE's heading in a bit of an edgier direction for WrestleMania. Some of it might have been inadvertent, like Vince McMahon saying, fucking... The blood on Roman Reigns was clearly deliberate. You have a little bit of profanity here and there. You had the big blood angle. You have long, unflinching beatdowns.
Yeah.
You have car destruction, which is like the hallmark of the Attitude Era. More than anything, I associate cars being destroyed with the Attitude Era.
Yeah.
That's like the thing. When you go back, there's a car.
That and Braun Panties matches.
Well, yeah.
Bring those about
back,
those.
Right? Then.
No.
But, so will this help in any way, shape, form, or fashion in ramping all this up? Will this help for WrestleMania?
Maybe. If they use it right. I mean, those are just, like, the edger words, the brutal beatdowns. They're just storytelling tools in the end.
Exactly. And the idea is you don't do them very often, so that when you do...
It's more meaningful.
And right now, what better time to make these meaningful decisions than now?
I mean, it just goes to show you the Reigns beatdown with the blood was a great visual.
Yeah.
But just because it was a great visual didn't mean it accomplished what they wanted.
Exactly.
Because the crowd was like, hooray, way to go, Triple H.
And Triple H said, hey, you guys want a crotch chop? Here you go.
Yeah.
So,
again... The blood, the edgier stuff, it's a storytelling device.
Exactly.
If you're going to tell a good story, that can enhance it. If you're not telling a good story, it's not going to help.
You are correct, Kath.
Alrighty. It's
almost as though you understand narrative structure and...
Who knew?
Writing. I was going to say more things about writing, but I'm not a good writer.
Haha.
So anyway, let's go ahead and jump into questions, wrap this baby up, and send it off down on a raft down the river.
Okay, so I'll start with the questions, because I actually tweeted people expressly asking for no questions.
Reverse psychology.
And I got some questions. No, I'm very disappointed.
Oh, okay.
Terrible, terrible listening skills, everyone.
Yeah, but enough about your podcast habits. Hey-o! Hey!
Okay, so...
Domination.
Gene asks, marry, fuck, kill, Rob Ford, Doug Ford, Harrison Ford.
I don't know the middle one.
Doug Ford is Rob Ford's older brother.
Okay.
And he's just the same, slightly smarter, and just terrible person all around as well.
Gotcha. I will kill Rob Ford.
See, my thinking is that he's already gotten cancer once, so it'll probably get him again.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
And you know what, like, with his drugs and eating habits and yada yada, I don't think I need to actively kill Rob Ford. He's doing a fine job.
That means you're going to marry or fuck him.
I will marry Harrison Ford.
Okay.
And the thing with Rob Ford is that more than likely he'd be in a drug or drink-induced stupor and I could just lie. Be like, yeah, you were great, bye. I am rules lawyering my way out of your question, Gene.
Yeah, this is completely not spirit of the question.
Too bad.
I'm not going to answer it because I don't care to. That's how it is. Go ahead and ask your next one.
Alrighty, let me see. They haven't mentioned the Andre Battle Royal yet, but who's my pick? I could say Bray or Luke Harper.
Can't possibly eliminate Big Show.
Yeah, I mean, he won it last year.
And he is his father's son.
Yeah. Yeah, I could say one of the Wyatts.
Braun.
Yeah.
Braun. It's my pick.
Okay. Good. Let's see. Slapnuts asks, how about that Raw, huh? And first 2 hours were fine. Third hour, horrible. The end.
That's how it goes sometimes.
Alrighty. Your turn.
Luck of the draw. Or something. Slapnuts asks, basketball. And I agree.
Mm-hmm.
There's some questions about obscure bands that I know nothing about. There's another Fuck, Marry, Kill. There's a question about another obscure band. Here's a good one. This is a person called Time Cube Charlie.
Okay.
Book the absolute worst and best possible 2016 celebrity WrestleMania matches. The best and the worst possible WrestleMania matches. Or celebrity WrestleMania matches this year.
Well, looks like Arnell's coming back.
Who?
Amell?
Stephen Amell?
Yes. Yes, thank you.
He did good in his first match, so
yep.
Sure, that's a best, given that he can do it.
Worst?
Who's somebody really fat? Who's like a fat guy?
I can't think of any off my head for celebrities.
There aren't any fat people anymore.
No, they all died.
They all died of weight.
Fat.
There
we go. Rob Ford.
Rob Ford versus, Brutus Beefcake. Remember Brutus Beefcake tried to save him with a sandwich?
Yep.
He's
so past topical now that... It's perfect for WWE.
I hope you were following that whole saga as it was going down. You were, right?
I had no choice.
So you, like, in your local paper, perhaps, you had actual, like, moronic fucking pro wrestler shows up with oversized garden shears and says he's going to save Rob Ford's life.
Yeah.
Great stuff. I should rip that and make it our entrance.
Now it's all about Justin Trudeau and our very handsome Prime Minister.
Good on you, Justin Trudeau.
Yeah. Way to be dreamy.
Then I guess my last question would be from our friend and yours, Striking Yak. Blah.
Hello, Yak.
He has a couple different questions. What are some of your favorite smells?
Ooh.
I like vanilla and I like cinnamon.
Yeah, I love the smell of coffee.
Oh, my God, absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, I don't like eating onions at all. I actually loathe them, but I like the smell of onions. Like cooking.
Yeah.
Like fresh blood, bile.
Chocolate,
yeah. Good chocolate smell. Peanut butter when you pop the top.
Oh, yeah.
Ah, shit.
Popcorn.
Those are all good smells.
They are.
How is Oatgan faring? He is doing okay.
Seems all right.
Kind of in a tizzy over his basketball team not doing so well of late, but what can you do?
The Timberwolves?
No, he is a OKC fan, given that he is from Oklahoma.
No, he's not.
He is, in fact, from Oklahoma. It's true, Kath. You gotta accept it. And this is a question more for me than you.
Okay.
What's the weirdest thing you ever stuck your dick in?
Yeah, that's not a question I can answer.
Trying to think. I'm not sure. Can't think of many weird things, you know? It goes where it will. Mind of its own.
Yeah.
Does what it wants to do. Pretty much.
Yeah.
So that's the end of my questioning, Kath.
Mine too.
So we made it. We made it after all. We knew.
Yeah,
we just...
there was some doubt today as to whether I'd be available to record, but circumstances worked out in our favor.
Thank God. Bank error in our favor. Collect $40 or whatever.
Woohoo.
So that is the end of episode number 24. Is there anything else you wanted to touch on before we took it on out of here?
Damn, that Balor and Neville match is really good. Worth seeking out.
What was the best match this week that you saw? Was it that, or was it Cuerno versus Phoenix?
I mean, they're two very different animals so far as matches go. The latter match was like real fast-paced, full of high spots, crazy bumps. And the other was just like a more... The other one had some really cool bumps in it and really good spots, but...
One was more of a spectacle, one was more of a wrestling match.
Yeah, I mean, I would say like they're each the high point of their genre. Mm. It's like trying to say what's better, this amazing comedy or this really good action movie.
What's better, Strenuous Man Flurry or Ryder Kath? I mean, it's basically a toss-up.
Pretty much, like any, you know, you throw the coin.
Exactly. Two-Face throws a coin. He flips it, in fact.
That's one for you, son.
Hey, she doesn't listen.
She should.
But we want to thank everyone out there who does listen.
Yeah, thank you.
We will be back once again in a week doing the talking the go-home show for Roadblock.
Yep.
Lucha Underground again, maybe some more NXT. You're going to carry the load, as usual, with the actual wrestling watching, and I will be a contrarian. So until that point... This is Strenuous Man Flurry.
And Ryder Kath.
And we will be back. And we hope you'll join us again. Goodbye.
Bye.